Thank you very much, Kel, and good morning to all of you. Today, as Kel said, I'll give an overview of the new Sustainable Development Agenda, where we stand today, and also briefly outline how the United Nations will look to respond to this agenda. I'd also like to just echo Brian's words and acknowledge the Ngunnawal people upon whose lands we're meeting today. And also to congratulate the UNA and all of you here today who's been involved in organizing this impressive conference. I think my words are not quite at the same level as the Governor General's last night when he said the same thing. But as many of you know, the UN presence in Australia is not large, and we truly value the support and friendship of the association that you give us all the time in our work. And it's a particular pleasure working with you, and especially in this anniversary year. Now, yesterday, I came in a bit late, and I sat at the back of the hall, and had the opportunity to scan the room, and I noticed these four banners that we have out behind us. Each depicts an element of the conference, but perhaps more relevantly, also the core elements of the organization's work. Yet, in truth, we cannot look at these as distinct, but rather indivisible elements of a single fabric. And that reality, the reality of an interconnected world that we live in, forms the basis of the new post-2015 development agenda that we're going to be discussing this morning. Now, also talking about fabric, I don't know how many of you appreciate it. In fact, I'm seeing it's painted, not actually a mural, but how much many of you have appreciated Leonard French's mural, Regeneration, which hangs above us. In biology, regeneration is the process of renewal, restoration, and growth that makes ecosystems resilient to natural fluctuations or events that cause disturbance or damage. I'm not really sure if I like his art, but looking at the world we live in today, this title could not be more apt. So while 2015 is a year for reflection, as we celebrate our 70th anniversary, it's also a time for global action. As you will know, this year marks the deadline of the Millennium Development Goals, which have already lifted hundreds of millions of people out of poverty. It's also a year that we need to adopt bold, ambitious, and interrelated global agreements to realize the post-2015 agenda on financing for development, climate change, and a new set of sustainable development goals, as we've heard, called the SDGs. These are not discrete, but closely interrelated events. It will be a historic inflection point for the global approach to development. In July, a major step forward in building a world of prosperity and dignity for all was achieved in the adoption of the Addis Ababa Action Agenda at the conclusion of the third International Conference on Financing for Development. This contained a series of bold measures to overhaul global financial practices and generate investments for tackling a range of economic and social environmental challenges. This action agenda recognizes the importance of domestic resource mobilization, and in particular the improvement of tax collection, but also reaffirmed commitments to official development assistance, with countries recommitting to a target of 0.7 GNI. And this is something that has been much debated in the MDG process. The agreement covered a wide range of areas of cooperation, including technology, science, innovation, trade, and capacity building. In particular, policy commitments and key deliverables focused on areas critical for sustainable development. Now, why is this important? Because financing is always important and is obviously the linchpin for the success of any post-2015 agenda. So the positive outcome of this conference last month was an important milestone in this year of action. The next milestone will come in September, when more than 150 world leaders are expected to attend the Sustainable Development Summit at the UN headquarters to formally adopt the outcome of the new agenda that was agreed just at the beginning of this month. Finally, in the end of the year in Paris, we'll look to member states at the Climate Change Conference to conclude a new binding climate change treaty. The issue of climate, which is to be covered later in today's session, is inextricably linked with that of sustainable development, and its inclusion as a separate goal is one example of how the proposed post-2015 agenda differs from the previous MDGs. The new SDGs, with a deadline of 2030, will build on those eight MDGs, but in a way that is deeper, more integrated, and policy relevant. They will include 9 more goals to meet the broader scope of the Sustainable Development Agenda, covering economic issues such as growth, employment, infrastructure, and inequality, environmental concerns such as water, energy, terrestrial, and marine ecosystems, and most importantly, a goal with targets promising more peaceful, better governed, and inclusive societies. And obviously, we heard a lot about the importance of peace and security in yesterday's session. The earlier MDGs did succeed in focusing political will and international development resources on a number of priority objectives, which include, in addition to sharply reducing poverty and hunger, achieving universal primary school education with gender parity, checking the HIV/AIDS pandemic, promoting gender equality, and sustainably reducing preventable deaths from malaria, diarrheal diseases, and complications of childbirth. They were, though, largely vertical and somewhat siloed, where the new agenda aims to be broader and much more integrated and horizontal. It is a much more transformative agenda, not least because of its rights-based perspective and explicit focus on tackling inequalities and discrimination. It calls for a fundamental rethink in all economies and societies, way beyond the more familiar frameworks of North-South relations that form the basis of the MDGs. This universal approach originated from the Rio Plus 20 conference in 2012, where member states agreed that a new set of goals would be global in nature and applicable to all countries while taking into account different national realities, capacities, and levels of development, and respecting national policies and priorities. In recognizing this, the new agenda has the greater potential for government ownership than the MDGs, since each government will set its own targets guided by the global level of ambition set out in the SDGs and their targets, but taking into account their own national circumstances. Since the Rio Plus 20 conference, an unprecedented engagement has helped define what should succeed the MDGs in 2016. In shaping this future agenda, governments have been joined by the voices of millions representing all sectors of society. And in fact, many of you, through completing the My World survey at previous UNA conferences, would have added your own voices to those millions. It was a process that involved the involvement of we the people in determining their own destiny. This was reflected in Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's words when he welcomed the agreement reached by the 193 member states, saying, "This is the people's agenda, a plan of action for ending poverty in all its dimensions, irreversible, everywhere, and leaving no one behind. It seeks to ensure peace and prosperity, forge partnerships with people and planet at the core. The integrated, interlinked, and indivisible 17 Sustainable Development Goals are the people's goals and demonstrate the scale, universality, and ambition of this new agenda." There's not time here now to go into each of the 17 goals and their targets, but a review of the document shows that eliminating poverty will continue to be the overarching goal of the agenda. Halving extreme poverty in the past 15 years has been an extraordinary accomplishment by any standard, but the remarkable progress has been helped in significant measure by the strong growth in large developing countries such as Brazil, China, and India, who have lifted millions of their citizens out of extreme poverty and deprivation. Yet there are still many millions of poor and vulnerable people left behind in the world, and development must include them. Hence, the ambition of the SDGs is to end extreme poverty and hunger once and for all. The new agenda prioritizes the need of the poorest and most vulnerable countries and groups, the least developed countries, the landlocked developing countries, the small island developing states, as well as the disabled, youth, older persons, migrants, indigenous peoples, and those at the bottom of the economic pyramid. Moreover, there are many millions of people and families in middle-income countries who, while no longer extremely poor, are far from enjoying secure livelihoods and incomes. Even in developed countries, poverty is still far too common. Thus, the SDGs call for action to substantially reduce poverty and address inequalities in all countries, middle income and rich, with member states pledging that no one will be left behind. At the same time, as more and more of the world's population joins the global middle class, demands on the environment and our natural resource base will continue to grow. Already, we are consuming each year 1.5 times the Earth's annual capacity to regenerate itself. We are drawing down precious natural capital just to live the way we are. Climate change already poses a serious threat that, if left unchecked, risks undermining the livelihood of the poorest and worsening food insecurity in some of the most populated regions of the globe. If all the Earth's inhabitants are to be able to enjoy a decent standard of living, the wealthy will need to shift to a much more sustainable patterns of consumption, and producers everywhere will need to shift to more sustainable patterns of production. Thus, the future agenda and goals call for action from everyone, everywhere, beginning in the developed world, to shrink their environmental footprints, to create safe operating space for all countries to prosper. The planetary limits cannot be transgressed, and our climate system, our oceans, land, and atmosphere must be preserved, regenerated, and made safe. The 17 goals and 169 targets should not be seen as a listing, but rather a complex web of interconnections that is a vision of an integrating and embracing agenda. In short, the 5 P's, people, planet, prosperity, peace, and partnership, that are identified in its preamble, capture the broad scope of the agenda. While all the SDGs seek to integrate the economic, social, and environmental dimensions of sustainable development, one can say that the first 7 goals deal primarily with people and overcoming deprivation. The next 5 goals deal with achieving prosperity and reducing inequality through inclusive economic growth. The next 3 deal with healing the planet and countering climate change. We know that without peace, sustainable development will be a distant dream. Moreover, countries mired in conflict cannot possibly expect to achieve and sustain improvements in the well-being of their people. So SDG 16 calls for building peaceful and inclusive societies and effective institutions as a precondition for social and economic development. The means of implementation outlined in the outcome document match its ambitious goals and focus on finance, technology, and capacity development. In addition to Goal 17, a standalone goal on the means of implementation, specific means are tailored in each of the sustainable development goals. And this is very much a departure from what happened with the MDGs. Financing the new agenda is a big issue, and many worry about it. But this agenda is not about aid and concessional flows to developing countries alone. It is more about the fundamental transformations in all societies and economies. Resources have to be raised and spent primarily in the countries themselves. All the important actors, governments, the business sector, banking, insurance, financial institutions and intermediaries, the trading system, have to be part of the accelerated impetus for sustainability. And this is why the outcome of the Financing for Development Conference in Addis Ababa last month was such an important landmark on the way to financing the SDGs. The energy behind the conceptualization of the new development agenda must be matched in its implementation, monitoring, and review. Member states have stressed that the desired transformations will require a departure from the business-as-usual format, and that intensified international cooperation on many fronts will be required. The agenda envisages states, civil society, business, the scientific community, and the UN system of agencies to work together in a revitalized global partnership. It calls for increased capacity building and better data and statistics to measure sustainable development. In this respect, the immediate phase after 2016, or after the beginning of 2016, will be crucial to developing a good set of indicators to see progress on the goals and targets. In addition, a technology facilitation mechanism will help ensure that in all the goals, we can put science, technology, and innovation to the service of the poor. An effective follow-up and review architecture, a core element of the outcome document, will be critical to supporting the implementation of the new agenda. Reviews will be expected to take place at the national, regional, and global level. At the global level, the high-level political forum on sustainable development, set up by states at the Rio 20 conference, will serve as an apex forum for follow-up and review, and thus play a central role. The General Assembly, the Economic and Social Council, and specialized agencies will also have a role in reviewing progress in specific areas. The UN itself will have to ensure that it is fit for purpose to deliver on the post-2015 agenda. And much discussion on this agenda has been taking place, on this matter has been taking place amongst member states, in countries themselves, and within the UN system. At the country level, the UN system will look to build on its existing Delivering as One initiative and roll out new standard operating procedures in all program countries to help ensure the system is well prepared to deliver on the new agenda. Ultimately, how the UN delivers will be determined by member states and not likely fully decided until early next year. A fit UN will, however, be one that is relevant, innovative, and agile to respond to the differentiated needs of countries. It will be guided by universal human rights and international norms and reflect the international agreements, norms, and standards in delivering assistance. It will need to develop better integrated and innovative business models and ensure that its country teams are high-performing, mobile, and diverse in character. It stands ready to support the implementation of the new agenda. So next month, in conclusion, when the world leaders formally approve the new Sustainable Development Agenda, it will mark the culmination that began 3 years ago at Rio+20. It will expand on the success of the MDGs and set out a bold, ambitious, and transformative program for the next 15 years, which commits all of us as to be responsible global citizens, caring for the less fortunate, as well as for our planet's ecosystems and climate action upon which all life depends. It is expected that the energy and enthusiasm shown in reaching this consensus will provide further momentum for the negotiations on a new binding treaty to culminate at the climate change conference in Paris. Let me finish by again quoting the Secretary General when he said, "We can be the first generation that ends global poverty and the last generation to prevent the worst impacts of global warming before it is too late. We have a big, bold agenda before us. Now we must make it work. Now we must work to make it real in people's lives." Thank you very much.